this city. Yes. Yes. It just leads me to say something that God's been laying on my heart, and maybe this is, I don't know, maybe just for one person here today. It's just a message to press on. And I don't know, I know that's for me. Maybe it's for you too. Don't give up. Press on. I got this real sense that, you know, get this picture where you're going up a mountain, and it's, as you get higher up the mountain, it gets cloudier, and you can't see anymore, and it's scary to be going where you can't see. And we're going through that really, really thick fog, not frog, but fog. and the message is just press on. Don't stop. Don't stop in the cloud, even though you can't see what's over the hill, over the next ridge. Don't stop, because something amazing, and hear this today, hear this from the Lord, there's something amazing that's coming. Don't quit. Don't quit. Something amazing is coming. And as you get to the top, and you're near the top, he's saying that, you're near the top. As you get to the top, the clouds are going to dissipate, and you are going to see a light like you have not seen before. So if you're discouraged today, or if you're afraid, don't be afraid. You're near. You're near the top. Press on. Don't quit. Maybe, I don't know what your struggle is. Maybe it's money, or maybe it's addiction, or it's fear. Push through it. Jesus Christ is with you. Right? Do we believe that? He's with us. Even to the very end of the age, he's with us. So I don't know, take that as encouragement. I know I do. The one other announcement is that in 2 weeks, we have a vacation Bible school, and we're joining with our good friends from the Lutheran Church and Pat Hamill, and I believe it starts on Tuesday, of the first Tuesday in August. It's going to run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. John, you're here today. Would you mind, at the end of the service, if there's some people here with kids that just want to know any more information, or maybe take the names down of some people? Okay, great. Great. I know John's been involved in this before. John actually went with the same group last year to, I'm going to call it Hobima, but it's got that different name now. Muscogee, sorry, yes. And we had a vacation Bible school there as well. But John will meet with any of you who have any questions about it. It's a great place to bring your kids, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I believe it's from, is it 8 till 12? Let's say 8 till 12, 9 till 12. Don't come at 8. Because I'm not taking care of your kids from 8 till 9. Okay, so it's a good place for our children to learn more about Jesus. Yeah. Yep. So parents are welcome to stay around. Okay, so if you are able to color within the lines, stay. Dirk, you want to come up? Yeah, thanks, John. Thank you. Yeah. I'm just going to pray for you. God, thank you for friendship. Thank you for someone who's stood behind me and who's journeyed with me for many years. Thank you for the Spirit of God that's on this man and for the ministry that he has in Hong Kong. Thank you for Celia and for Dirk and for their marriage. And I just pray that he will bring just a sharing message of encouragement for us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I'm just going to get a little pulpit. I think I'll talk to you down here because up there just seems so far away. So I want to be a little closer. It's great to be back. I live, as Stan just said, I live in Hong Kong, and it's a faraway place. It takes 15 hours by plane to get there. But the Holy Spirit is in Hong Kong as well, and I feel at home in some ministries there. I'm involved with a ministry there. I'm also involved with a Christian church, or it's Christian school, Christian church, obviously, Christian school, and at a church, and the Holy Spirit is there just like it is here, and I'm at home when the Holy Spirit is there. And it's encouraging. So it's funny. Sometimes, you know, I go to this Chinese ministry, and, you know, they're speaking Chinese, and I don't understand a word. But again, the presence of the Lord is there, and I'm one of the brothers. It's great. It's beautiful. Anyways, I'd like to talk today about faith. taking care of your faith. And it's interesting that Stan just talked about that. We hadn't collaborated at all. And he just talked a little bit about staying the course, keeping our faith. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about faith, taking care of your faith. Now, in Hong Kong and in the Philippines, there is a very common vine called a bougainvillea. And it's actually a very beautiful vine. And my assistant back there is going to put up some pictures of what that looks like. So my wife and I got married under the bougainvillea on an arch like this. So very romantic, very nice. And there's some more pictures. There we go, coming up. You can see they're an amazing plant. And they grow really well in a tropical environment. And I think there's one more picture. Anyways, I think you got the message or the idea what it's like. Now, after I got married under the bougainvilleas, I saw a bougainvillea at a store. So I bought one. It was kind of small, but I bought one, and my wife thought that was very romantic, and we put it on the balcony, and I took care of it, watered it, and, it did really well. But then, I think it was last summer, before the trip, I left the bougainvillea on the balcony because I figured it would survive the 4 weeks I was gone because it rains quite a bit. It rains quite a bit in Hong Kong in July. So I just left it and didn't think anything of it. Anyways, 4 weeks later, came back, went on the balcony, and much to my horror and dismay, all the leaves and all the blossoms of the bougainvillea were on the ground. And there had been no rain in Hong Kong for a month. It was just an anomaly, so it wasn't watered. And, I was kind of in dismay, and I Googled it to see if there was any hope. I Googled, bougainvillea to see if I could maybe save it, and it said, if you cut the branches, if it's brown, it's dead, but if it's green, there's still some hope. So I started cutting some more brown. It kept going down and down. This poor thing was just getting shorter and shorter, and then finally, green. And it was only about this tall. The plant, what was left of the plant was just like a stub, basically. It was horrible. You've seen Charlie Brown's tree. Well, it was worse than that. So anyways, we had this little stub of a bougainvillea, and I started watering it. Started taking care of it. I even took it inside a few times when it got really hot, and nothing happened. Nothing happened for the longest time. And, I just kept watering for about 2-3 weeks. Nothing happened. And I was like, I was almost ready to throw it out. And then one day, though, one morning I went out, and there was these two, microscopic almost, leaves. Two little leaves had sprouted out. And it was like, hallelujah! My bougainvillea is going to survive. And to make a long story short, it just kept growing and growing. And every day I would check it, and it just kept growing. And before long, it started, getting the leaves and getting the blossoms, and it recovered. And it was like, yes, praise God. And it made me think a lot about my faith, that if we don't water our faith, we're going to die off like the bougainvillea. It's just going to die off. If we don't read our Bible faithfully, if we don't meet people, worship, pray, discuss, serve, if we don't, we got to be careful about disappointment. We got to be careful to see the good and to courage. If we don't do that, our faith will just wither like my bougainvillea. Now, I want to just read the scripture, Romans 11, 16, 24. So if my man can put it up there. You can read it with me. This little bougainvillea story made me think of this scripture. Romans 11, 16 to 24. So you can read it with me up there, or you can just sit back and listen. It says, behind and underneath all this, there is a holy God-planted, God-tended root. If the primary root of the tree is holy, there's bound to be some holy fruit. Some of the tree's branches were pruned, and new wild olive shoots were grafted in. Yet the fact that you are now fed by that rich and holy root gives you no cause to crow over the pruned branches. Remember, you aren't feeding the root. The root is feeding you. It's certainly possible to say other branches were pruned so that I could be grafted in, well and good. But they were pruned because they were deadwood, no longer connected by belief and commitment to the root. Let me say that again. But they were pruned because they were deadwood, no longer connected by belief and commitment to the root. The only reason you're on the tree is because your graft took when you believed, and because you're connected to that belief-nurturing root. So don't get cocky and strut your branch. Be humbly mindful of the root that keeps you lithe and green. If God didn't think twice about taking pruning shears to the natural branches, why would he hesitate over you? He wouldn't give it a second thought. Make sure you stay alert to these qualities of gentle kindness and ruthless severity that exist side by side in God. Ruthless with the deadwood, gentle with the grafted shoot. But don't presume on this gentleness. The moment you become deadwood, you're out of there. And don't get too feeling superior to those pruned branches down on the ground. If they don't persist in remaining deadwood, they could very well get grafted back in. God can do that. He can perform miracle grafts. Why, if he could graft you, branches cut from a tree out in the wild, into an orchard tree, he certainly isn't going to have any trouble grafting branches back into the tree they grew from in the first place. Just be glad you're in the tree and hope for the best for others. Now, we don't hear very often the severity of God. And, I'm definitely a New Testament believer. I believe God's severity is more like the prodigal son story, where the prodigal son wanted to leave God, and God just let him, God let him go. And that alone is severe enough, don't you think? When you leave God and you experience, obviously, and maybe some of you experienced this, when you live a life without God, I hate to say this, maybe this is very simple, but bad things start to happen. And also, I believe God doesn't really need to punish you. Satan will gladly do that for you, right? Satan will go, right on, I'm coming for you. And so, it's again important to stay connected to that root. Be connected to that root that is God, and be humble about it, and be thankful for it. Now, I've told this story many times here at this church, and some of you have heard this story, but maybe some of you knew Doug Haltane, the late, great Doug Haltane, but I used to go with him to the Bowdoin prison to an NA meeting. I would drive him down there. I wasn't really involved, but I was his driver. And at first, I didn't want to go in, but he eventually convinced me to go in, and I was, like, terrified. But eventually, I really came to enjoy that meeting. That was an amazing meeting. And there was a man there, and, we talk about deadwood. He was the ultimate deadwood. He had committed murder, and he was on drugs, and he was just so far away from God. It was incredible. But in prison, going to the NA meeting, he discovered God, and he had just turned his life. And he said, it was so ironic, he said, I'm free. I'm free. And he also said this, and I'll never forget this, he said, I don't really know that much about God, but I wake up every morning and I'm looking forward to blessing somebody, and getting blessed. And I thought, dude, you are on the right track, and you're probably going to be grafted in real soon. I just want to say something very obvious. This is something very obvious, but a reminder. Remember, Satan hates your faith, okay? And he is behind every philosophy and empty deception. And the saddest thing that I've ever seen is not necessarily a person dying, which is a very sad thing, physically dying. But I think the saddest thing is when someone loses their faith. They decide to be deadwood. It is just tragedy. And so if you know someone who's wavering in their faith or losing their faith, we just got to stand by God and just keep praying for them and hope that they can be grafted back in. So I just have another scripture here, 1 Peter 8:10 or 8-11. It says, be self-controlled and vigilant always, for your enemy, the devil, is always about prowling like a lion, roaring for its prey. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. And remember that the strain is the same for all your fellow Christians in other parts of the world. And after you have borne these sufferings of a very little while, God himself, from whom we receive all grace and who has called you to share his eternal splendor through Christ, will make you whole and secure and strong. All power is his forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Okay, just one more little story. I'm a school teacher at Christian school, and I'm actually the PE teacher, one of the PE teachers. And twice a year, we get parent-teacher interviews. And I remember one parent came up to me, and he asked me a very, almost a laughable question. He asked me, "How do I make my child grow?" You know, because he was quite short. You know, his child was quite short. He just asked me, "You know, you're the PE specialist. Like, how would you make this child grow? You know, what can I do?" And you know, I just tried to not laugh too much. But anyways, I basically said this. I said, "You got to feed your child. You know, put them to bed on time. Wash them. Love them mainly. Wash them. Love them. Pray. You know, lead them to Jesus, and she will grow as high as God wants her to be." And I think that is a good, example of what faith is. Faith is you got to love the Lord, your God, with everything you have. Take care of your faith, and then be amazed at how God grows you. And you will go as high as God wants you, and that's worthy of high praise. He is faithful. He loves you. Amen. And finally, I'd like to end off just with the last bit of scripture, a summary, and then we're going to have a little encouraging song just to end it off. Colossians 2:7 says, "You have received Christ Jesus, Lord. Continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, establishing the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, which are based on human tradition and the spiritual force of the world rather than on Christ." So again, stay rooted in Jesus, be thankful, and it's going to be great. Life will be great. All right, I'd like you to stand. I'm just going to have this song come on here, and you can just sing along. I think we can just stand, have a little break, and you can sing along or just worship. And this song is called "You'll Never Walk Alone." And basically, it's a song about how if you stay rooted in your faith, you will never walk alone with Jesus. You just have to have faith. So it's going to be on. There we are. We are having some trouble with volume. Always happens, a little technical glitch. It's all right, you can say hello to someone. All right, so thank you for having me, and Stan, pray for our pastor.
Thanks, Dirk. Yeah, maybe Pauline, why don't you come up, and the three of us can pray. That would be okay too, wouldn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's okay. Why don't you put your arm on him? I know you guys don't know each other very well, but you're both important men in my life. So God, thank you for words of encouragement and for truth. And we just heard a number of different scripture passages, and I know that Pauline also is a man who loves your word, and he speaks truth. And Lord, we know what's false mostly by knowing what's true. We learn what's true, we commit it to memory, we commit it to our hearts, and then when we see the counterfeit, it's clear. So today we just join together. I pray for Pauline. We just pray for him that the message today will be clear, that we will learn more about what truth is. I thank you for Dirk and for the ministry that you give him as he's teaching school and he's working in Phut Lam in Hong Kong with people who are often on the streets and hungry as well. Bless him, God. Keep him. Let your face shine upon him. Be gracious to him. Give him your peace. And we open our ears right now to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I like the word that Brother Derek said. And today, the topic that I'm going to share together with you is about the phrase that you can have what you say.